which churches are in the Bible. There are three that he's talking about. And all right, in Acts 7, it's a Luke that writes Acts gives a comment, I guess you would say, I don't know, that refers to that church. That a church means called out together, a called out group or called out together. And Luke mentions the church in the wilderness. Let's just look at the two verses here. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him shall you hear. This is he that was in the wilderness, excuse me, this is he that was in the church, or the gathered, called out gathering, called out group, called out together. That's Israel, mainly it would be Israel having come out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, and on their trip to go to the Promised Land, actually. But it says that that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spoke to him in the Mount Sinai, and our father, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles, the word of God, in other words, to give unto us. A second one, second church, go to Matthew chapter 16, Matthew 16 verses 13 to 21. What is that, nine verses? When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So in verse 14, they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. Now, that's startling. That's not just another one of his names. That means he is the sent one, the anointed one of God, that was prophesied through the Old Testament that he would come and rule the kingdom, sit on the throne in the kingdom that was promised in Exodus 19, verse 6, I guess. So he says that he is the Christ, that's Greek for Messiah, the Son of the living God. So the sonship and the messiahship of Jesus are two elements there that they had to believe. Going on to verse 17, that was, 16. Going on to verse 17, And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So it was a direct revelation. It's the truth. There's no wiggle room there. Verse 18, and I say also unto thee that thou, pointing away from himself, thou art Peter, and upon this, that's toward himself, this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I've always taken that to mean, or for a decade anyway, taken that to mean when people die, it doesn't mean that the kingdom didn't come for them. They're going to be resurrected into the kingdom. The gates of hell shall not prevail against that church. Verse 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Let me just say, when reading these things about the church and things like that, we have to filter out of our minds preconceived ideas, things that we've been told by society or by pastors or parents, well-meaning people, but they're like superstitions or like, fables that have come down through the centuries. When you talk about the church, many people think you're absolutely talking about the Roman Catholic Church. But that didn't come till, 250 years after this was written. So it's not talking about any specific church, okay? Matthew 16:20, then he charged his disciples, and we just need 21 then, his disciples, that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. The one remaining element in the gospel of God, a specific name of a specific gospel, not a gospel of salvation, but a gospel, good news, the gospel of God is what he gives. Jesus adds to it here. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. So the resurrection is the third part of the gospel of God, what's called the gospel of God, what Paul was separated unto in Romans 1:1-4. So that's the second church, the church that Christ built. And you can see, in Matthew 16. Where's my poster here? I'm going to go to 18, verse 17. Yeah, 17. It's talking about arguments in the church, disagreements, misunderstandings. If he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And then 17 is the verse that refers to the church being established already there. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. So the church that Christ built, he built. It had started then. It was the kingdom of God at that time. And when Jesus said that the kingdom of God does not come with observation, it's not going to be, a 25,000 fan stadium that Christ fills in Jerusalem. It's not a noticeable event. But in the future, it says when he does come back, after the church, the body of Christ, started in Acts 9 and it's still going today, and after it ends being caught up to be with Christ, then every eye shall see when Christ comes back 7 years after we've gone to heaven. So that comes not with observation, is not forever. That's at the time he spoke it. Now, that's two churches, the church in the wilderness, the church that Christ built, and there's a church that we build. It's called the church, the body of Christ, but there's only one way into it, and you can't build your way into it. So I don't want to confuse anybody about that, but if we look at, Colossians, I think that's the easiest place to see both parts of it in one verse without a verse break. Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church. So there's the church, the body of Christ, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And then we want to go to 1 Corinthians 12:13, and then verse 27. 13 says, for by one Spirit are we all, I'm talking about believers now here, by one Spirit are we believers baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And then verse 27 gives the result of that. Now, you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So we're in that third church. We're in the body of Christ. When I said we build it, I mention it mainly as a distinguishing point between the church that Christ said, I will build, and he built it, that second church, and it will be the only church after we're caught up to be with the Lord in the tribulation. you've got Revelation that shows there are seven little candles, seven little lights. There's still the light shining from them, but they're not popular. And if you look in Hebrews 13:13, I think it is, they have to leave. I'm getting off the topic. But they have to leave Jerusalem because rather than going to the temple to worship, it's the synagogue of Satan at that point. And the only ones enduring to the end are those that leave apostate Israel and go outside the city bearing his reproach, it says. But let me just get this verse here. Let's see, 3:10. 1 Corinthians 3:10-15. I think as you read about it, the building of the church, the body of Christ, you can see it's not talking about the Holy Spirit adding people or Jesus adding people. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. That's Paul speaking. The foundation being what the same foundation as in the other churches, Jesus Christ. And another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he build thereon. 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So, and then verse 12, it gets even clearer about who builds it. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. It's the men, the people, not necessarily, you know, the humans, put it that way, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, every person, in other words, a person's work of what sort it is. Not his works. And this isn't for salvation. This is talking to save people. It's talking about rewards in the at the judgment seat of Christ, which is where we get rewards, or fail to get them if we haven't been these builders of the body of Christ. And then the, where was I? 14? I think 15 is the last one we need here. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So if you go through life and don't do anything for the Lord, but you received it to your own need of salvation, that Christ died for all your sins, and he rose again the third day, and that you believe that that took care of it for God, you're believing what you need to believe to be saved. And that's the gospel of salvation, to believe that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And not just in a factual way, but in a way, I need that for my salvation. I'm trusting only in that. I'm not going to try and get an insurance policy to get water baptized or go through some ritual in some religious group or anything. You know, religion gives you all kinds of substitutes, I guess you could say. Counterfeits or substitutes. Yeah, we don't need religion. Religion kills. It makes you think you're doing something to be saved. We need salvation, not religion. James told that second church, the Israelites, the Israel of God, the one that Christ built, James told them that pure religion is to visit those sick. I forget the exact line of it. But it was not in a sense of you'll be saved if you do this. That's the only time that's mentioned that I know of in the Bible. And Paul tells us to study the Word of God to be approved. Not for salvation, but as a saved person, you're approved as a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth, understanding that what was written in Romans through Philemon was written to us, to about us, We're in the body of Christ. It's that third church that it's written to. And what was written in the rest of the Bible, really, Genesis through Acts 8, and then Hebrews through Revelation, that's all to and about Israel. I mean, well, maybe the first 11 chapters you could say is not about Israel, Genesis 1 through 11. But you get to Genesis 12, and the Lord separates out Abraham and makes covenants and promises to him about his seed and his descendants and his saying it'll be through Isaac, not through Ishmael, his son. It'll be through his grandson Jacob, renamed Israel, and not through Esau, the other son. And the children of Israel then would be the children of Jacob, but there are 13, only 12 boys, and they were the ones that got a screen mic. Anyway, so I hope that at least, I'm sure that, you know, I don't explain things that clearly, and if it needs further explanation, that's fine. I understand that.